Boston, thank you all for coming out and showing up. I had a great time. Minneapolis, you are up next, April 28th through the 30th. Get your tickets now at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to say thank you, as I do every week, for all your support. This show, listen, I want to say this. We had over 1 million downloads for the last 3 months in a row, audio only, all right? Thank you. This show is growing. It continues to grow, and it's because of you. Thank you for coming out and support me on the road. Tickets for all my shows are available at ryansickler.com, all right? Now, the YouTube channel, go subscribe. The numbers are climbing over there, too, but, man, it helps us if you're subscribed, and it's a free way to help, all right? So if you got to have more Honeydew, then there's a Patreon show called The Honeydew with Y'all that has the absolute wildest stories in comedy. I promise you. It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you're getting over a month free, and you're getting The Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. And you're hearing shit that I promise you you're getting nowhere else. All right. And if you have a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do an episode together. All right. So thank you for your support on that too. Now that's the biz. You know what we do over here? What do? We highlight the lowlights, y'all. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And today I'm very excited to have two storytellers here. One is a repeat guest and one is new to the do, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dan Mancina and Anthony Ferraro. Welcome to the Honeydew, gentlemen. All right.
Honeydew. All right.
I don't know if we're making podcast history, at least in comedy. I don't know if there's ever been two blind guys on a podcast.
Two blind guys
in the same motherfucking room.
That's right.
Pleasure to be here again, man.
Pleasure for you to come back. Anthony, pleasure to have you here.
Honored to be here.
Before we get into what we're going to get into, feel free to plug anything you guys would like, please.
Yeah, I would say we have like a collab page of me and him. It's Four Bad Eyes Across the Board. F-O-U-R. And it's like, it's just us messing around, doing funny videos, super fun to watch, and then podcast to YouTube, everything for Bad Eyes. Yes.
All right. Anything separately for you, Anthony, or?
No, just that. And then I'm ASF Vision across the board.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dan the Mancina across the board.
Well, it's really good to have you guys here. I was excited when you had this idea to do this. So I was asking you guys outside. I know, Dan, you've been on here and we talked about you. You went blind. You lost your sight. Mm-hmm. Anthony, you said you were born.
Mm-hmm.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You're born blind, and does it get worse as you get older? Or if you're born blind, is it a set level and it just maintains through life? Does it ever get better? Does it ever get worse?
It depends on the condition, I guess. So like some diseases, some eye conditions, they get worse over time, like in my case, and then some just stay at the level they were born at. But mine is Leber's congenital amaurosis, and it's LCA, it's called for short. And I was born with like a little bit of sight, you know, where I could see like people, like the outlines of people and no detail or anything. I could see like, I could read really, really big print, like huge. And then as I got older, it just slowly kept deteriorating, and now it's just like light perception and like sometimes like shadows in perfect daylight.
Explain light perception.
So like I could see I have a really small sphere, so like it's like tighter than like looking through two straws, and then like one eye I can't really see, there's nothing at all. It's just like, it's basically a blur where I can just see if it's light or dark, and the other eye I can make out like colors and stuff. And then, like, I could see that the sky's blue. I could see that the grass is green, but I can't make out anything of it.
What colors do you see most prominent?
Definitely the blue skies. I'd say just lighter colors in general. Because, like, once it gets to a darker tone, like, red and like red and brown would look the same, blue, like black, none of those I could tell apart, mm-hmm. you know, unless they're like neon.
And what about you, Dan? What do you see prominently?
Nothing. I'm total blind now.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you last time you were here?
Uh-huh.
You were all the way at that point? Yeah, I didn't like, think you were. I thought you could see like, I thought you said something about like day and night. You could see some
yeah,
kind of light perception.
No, back like, I think right around four years ago is when I went like total blind. So can't tell light, anything like that. Like I used to be able to see like
you're if out you, in the parking lot if fucking you doing a goddamn skate tricks with a fucking cane, man.
If you like, I used to be able to see like you shine a flashlight in your eye, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
But now none of that. So, but I see like weird like flashes and stuff like that.
So when you're saying uh-huh and stuff to what he's saying, you're saying it from, you remember that?
Yeah.
Is that sort of, you had the same?
Same, yeah, going through
experience,
that.
Yeah.
Yes, it must be similar. But like Anthony could never even, like to read anything, he would have to blow like one single letter at a time up on like a whole television screen. Like a whole
wow.
full on
okay.
to see
I used
to
sit there because I was so determined to not be blind. Like mm-hmm. I used to fake it and just pretend I wasn't blind any way I could. I would have the book under like on this tray, and it was called a CCTV, and it was this big screen on top, and you would put the book under the tray and it would blow it up on the screen. I'd have like two letters at a time on this screen mm-hmm. reading so slow. And it was just miserable. But I was like, nah, I could see.
Can you read Braille, either of you?
That's what I read.
Anthony's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suck at it.
So let me ask it this way. When you learn the alphabet, are you learning first in Braille, or are you learning by blowing up the letters on the monitor and reading A, B, C like that? How are you learning to read?
I learned the visual stuff just at first because it was a better – my parents wanted me to have that reference point too, like a visual, like images of this stuff for when I went blind. So I knew what everything looked like. So then once I hit like, at the time it was like, I went to the first grade in a school for the blind. And then I just started learning Braille like fully, like print was out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Right now with memory of letters, can you sit down and from memory draw an A, a B, a C, all the way through the alphabet?
Absolutely. And it's actually funny because it's like my handwriting's like a 5-year-old from the last time I could like see.
it's all
capitals.
Handwriting
it's
got
all
held
capitals.
Back. Oh, it's all caps?
It's all caps.
Why is he screaming, this motherfucker?
It's all caps.
But you can do it, huh?
Can you do it, Dan?
I wrote all the way through.
I think Dan has pretty good handwriting, I've heard.
I can be all right.
And what about numbers?
Yeah.
You can write numbers?
I can. I can't write like, the only thing you can do in cursive is my name.
I mean, fuck cursive. Nobody even does cursive anymore. It's a lost art, I swear.
But you still sign your name? Like,
yeah,
you
still
signature?
Sign my name and stuff.
What about...
My mom told me you could just do like an X at the grocery store. So
yep,
I was like, oh, shit,
right.
I'm just doing that.
What about like images? Are there any images you can draw? A flower, a car? Is there anything that sticks out that you remember so vividly that you could at least make it out?
For me, yeah. But the problem is like, I never was able to see fully. So my memory of that is just what I was able to see at that time.
What would it be?
I have nothing to compare it to otherwise, like seeing it better. But to me, like a car, it's a fucking car. You know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like,
you gotta have you draw something.
I know. I gotta like draw it.
Dude, we're gonna have you draw it.
Is that what you'd go for? Is a car?
He said a car, so...
Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying, what if you had to draw anything from memory right now, if there was a contest,
like a
let's
sunset,
say.
Probably. A sunset.
Man, didn't you
want you won an award for a
yeah, won
piece
an,
of art, right?
Oh, there was this one night...
How the fuck you forget? Yeah. You won an award, bro.
This is
good thing you're here.
My mom's an artist, and she started an art program for the blind when I was young, in the school for the blind, and... I'll never forget this one night. We were driving home from somewhere, and I grew up at the beach, so we're driving along Ocean Avenue, and the moon is like huge, right? And it has this like green hue to it because the clouds and everything, and it's like foggy. And my mom was like, Anthony, look at that over there. Like, take a mental note of that. Like, take a picture of that in your brain and go home and draw that. And like, I went home and made this pastel drawing of like the dark night sky with this like greenish moon coming through, mm-hmm. and then like the clouds rolling through it, just from like my vision of it. And then that, and she put in a contest and ended up like winning national and like getting like, I got like $300 for it.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I was like, right. Oh shit.
How do you two know each other?
We met, is it a year ago, right?
Yeah.
It'll be a year ago in June. We had a little skate thing where we got a bunch of blind people and like other adaptive skaters together in Michigan.
You told me about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and we all were just hanging out. And then that's when we first met. And I was just kind of skating with Anthony and teaching him some stuff I knew of how to skate blind.
Is there like a newbie area of that so that these people aren't fucking running over each other all the time and hitting each other, and then like a pro level area or something?
Well, what was cool about that, the owner of the park, it's an indoor, this huge indoor park, and shut it down.
Can I ask y'all a question for a second?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the insurance policy on something like it?
I used to get comments like, you should not let that dude skate.
It's skating your own risk. It's skating your own risk, but the signs aren't in Braille. That's the problem.
Didn't see the sign.
Didn't see the sign, man.
I didn't see that shit, man.
Yeah, that's scary. Poor George, man.
So you two just clicked, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Definitely. All right.
Skated.
Did you know who Dan was before you became friends with him?
Yeah,
he's
Dan.
A pretty big deal in your world.
He's like the big social media. Big blind skate guy, you know? He's like the GOAT in the skate world.
Yeah, he is. I know.
But no,
Tony Hawk blind skating over here.
I didn't know how big he was. I didn't know Anthony very much.
Okay.
And like, his TikTok is huge.
Oh, yeah? Is that right?
And now it's like YouTube's, yeah, he just got his creator award for 100K.
Hell
YouTube
yeah,
and all that.
Congrats.
They sent me four different
awards. Listen to this shit.
What?
So YouTube, I got like 100,000 subscribers a couple months ago. They sent me an award. I was pumped. It wasn't in Braille or anything, but I didn't really care that much. But all these people online were like, yo, they should send you a Braille one. That's kind of messed up, like $1 billion corporation, you know? And then all of a sudden I got an email saying, we're so sorry, we'll send you one in Braille. So I'm real pumped, right? This award's coming. Get in the mail, open it on camera, like doing a live unboxing like video for it. And I open it, I feel the Braille. It's micro Braille. Like, you can't make Braille this small. I don't know how they did it. It was like whiteout print, like just on the thing. And I go to read the Braille, and as I read it, the Braille wipes off with my finger.
No. Wipes right
off. And I'm on camera. I'm like,
nuh-uh.
Oh, shit. And like, this video ends up getting like 14 million views, right?
So, good.
So I'm like,
good.
I'm like, oh, man. Like,
demonetizing us left and right. They can't even Braille up
better.
The ball. Wiped it off. There's some grease on
they're
that.
They're like, we are so sorry. Like, we're overnighting you a new one. They sent a brand new one overnight. I get the big box this time. I'm pumped, dude. This box, I'm like, oh, they sent a new one, like making the video, and then open it. The Braille is perfect, except there's one space in my last name. It said like F-E-R-R-A space R-O, but I was like, whatever, that's sick, you know, like the Braille is on there. I can read it, it's perfect. And then my girl is like, my wife Kelly, she's like, oh shit. And I'm like, what? And she's like, they left out the last N in your name, in your first name. And I was like, Anthoy? I couldn't believe it. I was like, I'm gonna hang this thing up in my office, and I wouldn't have noticed either if no one like read it for me.
I don't think anybody else would either.
And then they sent another one. And it finally came. Yeah.
Four, no, the print said Anthoy, right?
The print said Anthoy.
So I had print and Braille.
Anthoy Ferraro. So I was like, I'm gonna hang this up, and everyone's and I would never know. And I'm like, the Braille's fine, dude. Like, they'd be like, who's Anthoy? So now it went viral too, so everyone's calling me Anthony and shit.
Oh man, I'll tell you, if it ain't bad enough, I swear.
They got it right.
But they got it right, and I was pumped. It was
all
like,
right,
it was
well, good on YouTube
up.
For getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
Funny. All right, so you guys meet a year ago, and now you buddy up, you're going around doing shit together. All right.
Yeah, I was getting sick of doing stuff solo. I was getting burnt out on it. I was like, I just want to partner with somebody and like, this would be more fun, you know?
Yeah, you guys seem like you,
and then me and Anthony,
you connect well.
Yeah, it's perfect.
All right, so you both sent some stories. I'm going to just bounce back and forth off your list. So I do want to do this because, Dan, we touched on last time your thumb, and then we never got to it. You're right.
Yeah.
And fans were like, you never got to the fucking thumb.
Cut my thumb
so
off.
So let's do your fucking thumb.
One and a half.
All right. When I was, this is, I lived in
can I see it?
Warren, oh, yeah. So my, there's like, it's like half, right? So it's right above the nail.
He's a blind amputee. So
I was going to say, man, you would, a blind guy would cut his thumb off.
Well, I say that. Well, I was sighted this time when I was this, when I was little. I was 7 years old.
I'm sorry.
I always, me and Anthony always joke because we do the adaptive skate contest, and I say I'm blind and amputee too.
Yeah, you should. I mean, are, is that technically an amputee?
I guess, yeah.
It's an arm, dude.
Yeah.
Not, man, some that. Motherfucking guy with one leg on crutches is running over like, bullshit! Bullshit!
Exactly. Like, I can't throw a football, man. Yeah.
Oh man!
When I was seven, I used to live Warren on the border of Warren, East Detroit, and my ma used to run at the high school there.
Okay.
And in the middle of the track, there was like some football stuff. So I think it's called a fumble drill. It's like two arches, and on the arms of the arches, there's like rubber arms that stick out. So you like run through it, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I never play football. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I never
totally.
Knew if that's
You're
what it's called.
Supposed to cover the ball and run through it. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a turnstile, but there's a bunch of them on there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I was there with two of my brothers and one of their friends. And we're just like climbing on it. I was 7 years old. So we're just playing on this thing. And my brother's buddy's laying across the top row of them. And I'm climbing up the side. So when he was laying on the top, one of the arms was pushed down and open. So the spring didn't have a cap on it. And it was like exposed, right? So my thumb went in that little spring. And right at the same time, he slipped down. So it just came up and like literally squished my thumb.
Oh.
And I didn't even know. Like, I didn't feel it at first, right? He's just laying on the ground and blood drops on his chest. And he's like, looked up. He's like, dude. And then we realize my thumb's in here. So they got to grab it, pull it open. And I pull my thumb out and it's hanging by like a little piece of skin. Just like mashed. And they're like, oh shit. I run to my first brother and he fucking freaks out. He starts screaming, Dan, cut his thumb off. Dan, cut his thumb off. Just like. Like a chicken with his head cut off. I'm like, all right, he's useless.
So I run. You're seven.
Yeah. So I'm going to my next brother.
It's my daughter's age right now.
Yeah. She would not have,
My mom was probably like on the other half of the track or something like that. Go to my next brother and he's like squinting. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, oh shit. And he took me to my mom. And I don't remember much after this. I know there was a dude in the parking lot who just was like fucking pale faced and looked and was like, do you have a car? My mom's like, yeah. And he just bounced. He was out of there.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, I'm out of here.
Thank God I don't have to help these
and
people.
And then I remember driving his old Aerostar van. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in the front with like my mom had like a birthday card or something I had under my hand. It's just like dripping. And drive down the street was a fire station.
Are you crying? Are you fucking screaming?
I'm in shock.
Are you
in shock? Okay. I'm in complete shock. I don't remember feeling any pain at all when I think back. So I go knock on the door and they come out and they're like, oh shit. And I just remember him wrapping it with gauze and it was like a beehive on my hand. It's a giant ball of gauze. And they put me in an ambulance. And then what else do I remember? Being in the ambulance is coming like in and out of consciousness. And I guess I was like in really bad shock where I was like passing out and losing all this blood where like I almost died and shit like that. And then they took me to the hospital and I don't remember much after that, just being laid up in the hospital. And I know I missed the rest of the school year, did school from home. The only time I got straight A's, I remember that. And then all kinds of like toys, Aladdin on VHS and shit like that.
That's what sticks out.
Yeah, man. That great. Little dumb crap.
Aladdin on VHS.
Then they tried
Let
to
me
sew
see
it.
That thumb.
They
Let
tried
me
to sew it back on.
So is that part nail right there?
No,
what is
that's
that?
Just where the bone would be.
That motherfucker.
That's like where the bone would be.
That's a what?
That's like where the bone would be.
Oh,
I
a
guess.
Knuckle right there.
So it's kind of
okay.
Like this weird. It's not really a scab.
Is it
I don't
toughened
know what it
up
is.
Now? Like, can you use it as a weapon? Can you? Yeah. Can you jab
it's really
somebody?
Sensitive. Because
last time I was out here, he was skating and he got like he fell. And next time I saw him, he had a Band-Aid on his And he's like, I hate when I hurt my dude. It's so annoying.
Because half a thumb. Because I go to fall and I go to put my thumb down and it just gouges the top.
What's
of it.
The thing it you miss most with that little piece of thumb? That what do you what annoys you the most?
Nothing really. I don't remember.
You don't need that.
You don't. I, yeah,
you really
I
don't
do,
need that.
I can do everything because it was right above that joint. If it would have been below that joint, then we had to take the whole thing off.
Oh, is that right?
And I would have looked real goofy. But a lot of people don't notice it until like I'm actually doing something right up to them. Yeah. You know.
Okay, Anthony, we have smashing my penis over here. Let's let's hear about this.
This is my favorite story, sir.
All right, yeah, I was 4 years old. And I'll never forget this. We had a bathroom like in the living room, right? So everyone's chilling in the living room. We're having people over at my parents' house. And I go to the bathroom. It's one of those times where you have to like, you know, you're short, so you're really little. And I would like rest my dick on the toilet seat, on like the...
The rim?
The rim.
That's what I was like. It's nasty. Right? Oh,
it's nasty, right?
Nasty. Somebody need to tell you.
I didn't know any better. Listen.
It's and then, lazy, too.
Yeah, lazy.
I was so little. I didn't know to step up. No step up.
Yo, I got a squatty potty. It's what my step up
I'll never leave home without those now. Squatty potty.
The best. But no, they need to make a travel one.
They do have they one. Do. I have. It's called one, a porta squatty.
It folds up.
It comes
up.
In a bag and it folds up. Yep.
Hell yeah. I'm going to get that for my trip.
It's nice.
So my parents just got this nice new, like, one of those heavy, like, ceramic toilet seats. They just bought it and it had a, the lady that sold it to them, they bought it brand new from the store and it had a crack in it. No one knew. And I had both seats up while I'm peeing and all of a sudden, both seats just smashed down on my dick. And I've never.
It hurts my dick right now.
I started screaming so loud, like bloody murder. I was so little and run out of the door. There's literally blood squirting out of the like top of my dick, and I'm screaming. Everyone's like freaking out, like,
in
what
the
hell is
room.
Happening
in the living room?
Well, we got everyone's company. Everybody.
And the next thing I know is like waking up in the hospital and like, just taking that gross medicine that tastes like bubble gum, like the liquid shit. And I had to do that for like a couple weeks. And then I had to, I remember I could barely pee without it. I couldn't pee without it hurting at all. It burnt so bad because it got a separate hole. Like
it made a second hole.
It
pierced it.
It pierced
punctured
it, yeah.
A new hole.
And then that had to heal. But every time I pee, it would like, it would burn so bad. I remember sitting
would
it
in
shoot
the, out of that hole. Like
I don't remember.
Like a porpoise, like a porpoise's blowhole.
Now I pee crooked, like a little crooked, just the tiniest bit. Like not even a lot at all where you notice. But like,
your reason's bent at the tip.
The shit's fucking
smashed.
And then
it's like when I bite on straws and floss with them and squeeze them down
it was
a little bit.
So bad. Just I remember just having to piss in the bathtub.
Did it disfigure
the only
your
way.
Dick or anything?
No, thank God.
It just makes you piss a little to the what? Left or right?
Left. And then it was like we had this huge lawsuit with the company.
For real?
Yeah, dude, it was bad because they sold us a broken toilet seat and it smashed my dick.
And what? So did you win?
We won.
What'd you win?
I think it was like some. It wasn't even that much money, but I remember
free toilet seats for life.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. No, and I remember,
like
I remember, I was like. At the time, after all this was like getting said and done, I was like probably 7. Once the law said shit takes forever or whatever, and sitting in the courtroom, I'll never forget. The judge says to my dad, like, you know, once he's 18, I can't tell him what to, like. He could do whatever he wants with this money. Like, if he wants to buy a car, he could buy a car. And I remember sitting there like,
don't think he's
shit,
gonna be able to draw one.
I could buy a car, and then my dad goes. With all due respect, Your Honor, I don't think my kid's buying a car.
He said that.
Ended up buying my wife's engagement ring.
He saved it.
I
like,
saved it my whole life. I was like, I'm either
years.
Buying a
your
house.
Your dick money?
Yeah, my dick money. Dude, that's what I called it, too. I got my dick money. And I was like, I'm either buying an engagement ring with this or buying a down payment on a house. And I got the engagement ring.
It's his dick got his wife
my
in more than one way.
Yeah, your dick money bought your fucking future, bro. How about that?
No, I just remember saving it. I was like, can't
how
spend
about
it,
that?
Can't spend it.
Your fucking, your hurt dick just paid for forever. That's beautiful. That's beautiful, Anthony.
Dude, I had a kidney stone one time.
Oh, I have too, man. I'm with you on that.
And that's my biggest fear.
Oh,
they they put a stent in me.
Oh, no, God forbid.
And every time I peed, it would be like someone twisted my fucking kidney. And then I go through, like, they pulverized it. do all this stuff. And to take the stent out, I'm like wide awake. It's like in a regular like hospital, or not a hospital, like an office. Lays me down on this table, like a barber chair, lean back, and he goes with this scope and he goes right through my dick hole, like right in front of me. And I'm just sitting there like, dude, what is happening? Didn't hurt that much, but it was just like the most awkward
thing. Is that a capillator? What's that called?
Pulls it out.
A capillator? Is that what they put in your pee hole after you get like surgery or something?
Oh, a catheter?
A catheter, yeah. That, dude, I'll never, I got hemorrhoid surgery.
You did? What the hell happened to you back there?
I threw. So I do judo for the, like, train for the Paralympics and shit.
Yeah, tell us about that as well, please.
It's just other blind people from all around the world fighting, like, in judo. And you go around the world competing in different, like, competitions to get points to make it to the Paralympics.
Where are you ranked?
I was ranked top 20.
All right.
And then in the world. And then I like was so close to making it to 2021 in Tokyo, and then I tore my groin like right before it happened.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucked. But
you think you can get a gold?
No.
Bronze? You think you could medal?
I think I could medal this time.
What, silver, bronze?
I'm going to get gold this time.
All right. Then you do think you can. Yeah. No, how do you wear your hair when you judo?
I get it braided tight, like back.
All right.
But I threw someone in judo, like in Germany, I'll never forget it, like deadlifted this guy off the ground, and I threw my back out, and then I was having all this problem, like constipation and shit, like because it was the time difference and traveling. And then for months, I ignored it. Like just, I didn't even know what hemorrhoids were. And then one day it got so bad where I just thought like I was wiping too aggressive or something. Like my ass was just itchy. And one day it got so bad where I couldn't like walk. And I was like, this is really bad. I went to all these different doctors who just kept telling me I had hemorrhoids. So gave me the cream. And then finally I went to a specialist and he's cream. Like, did like a whole exam, like examination, everything. Got my first digital and I was like, oh! Worst thing ever. And the guy is like, I don't know how you're walking. You have like a fissure and like multiple hemorrhoids, and like immediately put me into surgery. And then, where was I going? Oh, right when I got out of
up
surgery.
Your ass.
Yeah, no, right when I right when I got out of surgery, I'll never forget this. No one said anything about this, but I was like so scared they were gonna put something in my pee hole, and I'm like so delusional from the fentanyl and everything, that whatever they give you for the anesthesia. I wake up out of surgery where they're rolling you out and you're still in and out. And I'm like, they're like, you're out. Like everything's good. And I'm like, do not put a catheter in me. Like I woke up like real quick and like said that to her.
He didn't
like,
want the
chill.
Catheter.
Like no one's going to do that.
Don't touch my dick. So I'm traumatized scared. From when I smashed.
I have penis trauma.
When you go in with the catheter, make sure you go in the right hole, dude. Make sure you go in the front one.
For most of us, learning a second language in high school or college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. I know I took Spanish from 8th through 11th grade, and I've said it before, I wasn't even good with English. But now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, there's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with family, or you just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. Y'all know I've been taking my Espanol, and it's going muy bueno, all right? And the thing I really like about it is you get to speak. You get to hear it from a male and a female. You get to hear the accents, the inflections. Then you have to speak back and say it properly so that you can pass on. And they do these little bite-sized chunks where you're constantly, you know, repeating and redoing things. That's, for me, is the best way to learn. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com, use my promo code Honeydew. That's Babbel.com, code Honeydew. Babbel, language for life. Mellower vibes are a drop or a toke away with Dadgrass. They'll take you back to a time when music was on vinyl, Delta was an airline, and hipsters were a style of jeans. Sit back, light up, and chill out the old-fashioned way. Dadgrass is legal organic smokable hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Their 100% organic pre-rolled joints are very low in THC and high in CBD, so you can enjoy the effects of CBD while keeping a clear head. Want the toke without the smoke? Dagrass also has a CBD tincture made with the same high-quality hemp. It's easy to dose, and the effects come on smooth. Chill out without getting stoned. It's like having a glass of wine, not the whole bottle. All Dagrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Whether you're looking for a new buzz or a chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dagrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. Right now, Dagrass is offering my listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/honeydew. Go to dadgrass.com/honeydew for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. Okay, Dan, I want to hear, I'm looking at your list over here. I want to hear this LAX story, this restroom at LAX.
This is when I had some site, so I wasn't using a cane, and I'm leaving LAX.
Can I ask you just for a moment, and maybe you can answer this too, Anthony, when were you not using a cane at that point because you were fighting it and just were like, I can do this? Was it pride? Was it?
For me, it was never pride. I had really good vision.
Yeah.
You know, like my central vision was still good. Like I used to work at a deli and slice meat. You know what I mean? One of those like fucking slicers and shit. Yeah. As a legally blind person. Because like central vision's still good, but my peripheral is all gone. So like I could always navigate at that point. I can navigate fine, right?
He's killer on them center cuts, man.
Yeah.
Well,
I was like, legally blind. I can shave it. I can do whatever you need. I got you. Yeah.
A little problem along with that.
But,
okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, but I had trouble reading like signs and stuff I couldn't see. I couldn't see any signs in the airport, but I had it like mapped out pretty good because I'd been there a million times. I'm going to the bathroom. And at this point, like the men's and the ladies were right next to it. It's like right where you can go into the Delta Lounge right there. You see two bathrooms exactly side by side.
Yeah.
And I go and I look at the sign, and in my head, I saw the men's logo. So I go in there and I go in the stall and I'm taking a shit and I'm sitting there and then I hear like ladies' voices. I'm like, oh shit. And I start thinking back like, yeah, I didn't see any stall or any urinals in here.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm in the fucking woman's bathroom right now. So I'm
And no cane. You could at least put that underneath or some shit.
Exactly. And this is pre fucking anyone could use the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
This is pre identification.
I was like, shit, how am I going to go? I just fucking finished. I open the door and I beeline it straight to the exit. And there's two ladies looking. They're both just staring at the mirror, like doing their makeup. Didn't even look at me or glance. Walked right past them and left and went to the men's and washed my fucking hands. Dude. But that feeling of like, I was like, damn, I fucked up. God. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I got. Have you ever fucked up like that in any other situation? Reading,
oh, yeah. This is before you're asking me, Nyan. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do the river story.
The what?
The river story is on the list too. This is when I wasn't using a cane too. And I'm up north Michigan and this is like end of April. So snow has just thawed and we're staying on this like nice campsite right next to this river. And on the river has a big bank that's about like above head. So it's got to be like 7-8 feet tall. And we're sitting by the fire, like getting just like hammered. All you do is drink up there. So I'm like fucking three sheets to the wind. I leave the fire, I gotta go piss. Start walking in the woods, walking, right step, left step, and then fucking nothing. Drop straight to the river, and in the fucking river.
Can you swim?
Yeah, I can swim, but it was like, I barely remember like how I fell. I just remember no earth underneath me, and then popping out of the water. Dude, like, oh
shit!
And then by that, all the homies, all my friends heard it, so they come running over, and like I look up, there's like headlamps just staring down at me. Got to reach up, and they pulled me out. Dude,
Jesus!
But that was the first time where I was actually really pissed after that because I was like, dude. You can really like get hurt if you're not paying attention and not having a cane. And it really fucked with me mentally of like having to start using a fucking cane and like really think about how you're walking and navigating and stuff like that. Cause yeah, dude, you know, hit your head and fucking float away. You're gone or something.
Gone. Yeah.
Cold
real.
Water is like freezing water. Yeah. But Yeah.
Holy shit. Mm. Just boom into a river. You just got baptized, bro.
Baptized, dude.
I had one where I thought I was falling in the Mississippi River.
That's a bigger river. That's a bigger river than my river.
Swam across it. I swam to Mississippi, me and my wife, in Minnesota.
Yeah. I was so scared. Like, I'd never been more pleased. Like, I was so happy to hit the ground. I was like, oh, thank God. But I was riding a scooter in New Orleans, like, on this path with my girl was right behind me. And she was riding a scooter.
Yeah, electric one?
Just a freaking razor scooter. And like she's filming behind me. And I'm just like whipping down this path. And I know that the river is like a 30-foot drop off on my right, but I don't know anything else between that. And next thing I know, I'm riding, and all of a sudden I hear, oh shit! And like I'm going over the front handlebars of the scooter. And I'm going through the air, and in air, I think I'm falling into the Mississippi River.
Oh, no,
The thought process through my head, I'm like, dude, I'm fucked. I'm not going to be able to make it out because it's like a 30-foot, like, to get up. And it's this current is so strong, and this is disgusting right here. Like, I was, and then I hit the ground, and I was just the biggest smile on my face, like, in the video.
I thought you were going to get truly baptized in the muddy waters.
Let me ask you this. What's the most frustrating thing about not having vision?
Just like some of the little things. Like,
what annoys you? What's a daily, like, fuck that shit?
Yeah, like sometimes when you, if you're looking for something and you know it's like in this general area and you've looked like all around this area feeling like hands and knees. And then someone comes in with sight and they're like, oh, it's right here. And you were just like an inch away from finding it.
You're spending 5 minutes of your life.
These little things, they build up so much time in your day. And then me, I'm like so over it sometimes where I'm just like trying to run through it, everything. So I'm like, you know, fuck it. I'm just like running through my house and shit. And then something's moved up, or I'll like misjudge where something was like from my memory and just nail my head or my shin. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, such bullshit, you know? Like, I'll freak out sometimes where I'm like, I could ride a skateboard. I could, like, you know, do judo, like, grappling. I could do all these things and, like, can't fucking see a damn wall in front of my face, you know? And that shit really frustrates
me. Speaking of which, watch your heads on the way down the stairs here at the studio. There's a metal bar across the top. You will crack that motherfucker if you stand up too straight. All right, let me ask you this. Is there a silver lining? What would you say is, if you had to find a positive about it, what would you say is something that's good about it?
I think...
And maybe I'm asking it the wrong way, and I apologize if I am, but do you know what I'm
saying?
It's
kind of a double-edged sword for me because at some points people are overly helpful for you, like trying to help you with every little thing. But then at the same time, it's like people really are nice and you realize like there's a lot of good people who like... are generally, they're just looking out for you. You know what I mean? Walking down the street, you have random people come up to you like, hey man, you need help or anything like that? And like, I think that's super positive because people are like, not everybody's mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
Not everybody's like fucking trying to get you, you know what I mean? Not coming out for you, which seems like that's how the world's painted more and more lately, so.
That and not waiting in airport lines.
Not waiting in, you know, just get the skip lines.
For me, like, too, because I was born blind, so, like, I was never really able to see people and, like, what everyone looked like, and I think that really helped me in terms of not judging people off a first glance, and, like, I actually had to get to know someone for their personality and judge them off that, and that, like, helped me really get to connect with people a lot more growing up.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Without sight, not being able to see people within the blind community, is there racism? Is there?
Oh, that's interesting. There's got to be.
That is it. Yeah.
I'm sure.
There's definitely amongst, you know, it's like in any community.
Okay, so
I haven't witnessed
you haven't?
Firsthand. I mean, we don't know that many.
There's
blind
some really
people,
proud but... blind people that are like anti-sighted people. Mm-hmm. If that's what you mean too. The blind people that can't see at all and then the people that can see a little.
So like that's the next thing I want to ask you. Among the blind people then, if not racism, where's the disconnect?
Yeah,
where are the heads?
There's some people who are super proud to be blind and they don't want Braille on money. They don't want anything changed in this world because they're confident in their abilities, that. And we don't need any assistance.
Okay.
And then there's just other people who are just like, yeah, put fucking Braille on money.
Yeah, like that'd be chill.
Like that we need like more equality.
Yeah, how the fuck you do you know if you're holding a 5 or a 10 or a 20? How
you
do
don't.
You?
There's little scanners. Yes. You can, there's an app on the phone. You can scan. It'll tell you. But
what about before that?
You can get a free reader from the government that
really?
Came out with. Yeah, you just apply and they send it to you and you just like put the corner of the bill in it and it'll tell you what currency it is.
I see.
But and then you just fold it a certain way. You know, 20 is like a hot dog. 5's like this, 5 whatever. So you can have it organized.
Oh, I see.
But now I just use the app on the phone if I ever need to know.
Okay.
You just scan it. Tells you in like real time what it is.
All right. So now how dependent are you guys on technology these days?
Oh, super.
Yeah.
The phone.
Yeah,
right?
I used to be
number
super
one
anti,
tool.
Especially once touch screens
came out.
Yeah,
didn't
you
have a flip phone as a
kid?
Yeah,
I had a flip phone for the longest time. It wouldn't change. Like the...
Listen,
envy.
There's a lot of people with sight to do that shit too, by the way.
Yeah, I had like I would have the whole phone memorized, like every menu, how many clicks down in that menu to get to the next one, like even
so
my
change
content, like
is
everything.
Really what was.
It was change, and then learning that whole new thing. But once you do, it's like, all right, this
fly.
Yeah, you're flying. And it's the most of the time technology's there to help, you know. So
it's huge getting rides, Uber and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All
especially
done on the phone.
Uber, that opened like a whole new world.
Change.
Tell me some time that someone you knew you caught someone trying to rip you off. Go first, Dan.
Oh, someone trying to rip me off. I don't think I've
scam
had
you, con you, none of that. You haven't had that?
Not that I know of. Yeah. Not
How
that
about
I,
you, Anthony?
I recognize.
I was at a glass shop, like a smoke shop thing, and I was looking at like something and I was asking the guy the price and he was like, this was actually in LA, like last month. And I was asking the guy the price. And he's like, oh, it's $180. And I was like, oh, that's like the best you can do. And I was like, you know, I looked like I was about to turn around. And I had my cane and everything. I'm in there by myself. And the guy's like, you know what? I could do $140 plus tax for you, man. For you, I could do that. And I'm like, oh, sick. Like the guy's kind of hooking it up, you know? So I'm like, all right, whatever. And I got it. Go out to the car. And I'm like, yeah, he hooked it up. Like, said like he brought it down to $140. My wife looks at it, she's like, the sticker price is $140.
I thought she was gonna say $7.99.
Yeah. Dude. But still, it was so that fucked me up so bad because
Anthony was pissed.
I called him crying. Like I was so mad. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, how many fucking times has this happened to me in my life that I don't even know about?
Right.
Like I just went in there trying to be like independent. This fucking guy is scamming me and like, you know.
You can say fucking on this show.
I know. But like, I was just so pissed. I was like, I can't believe it. And it made me like, for like 10 minutes, lose all hope in humanity. Like I just gave up for a minute, you know? And I was like, get over yourself.
So then
like,
what brings it back for you then?
He went back in though and fucking told the dude.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
I was like, yo, it's real messed up. You're lying to blind people, like acting like you're hooking them up and not doing like, and doing that. And he had nothing to say.
He didn't say anything.
That's, you take that cane, you knock all that glass off the shelf.
Start bumping shit out of the way.
You know that rage in your mind? You could see yourself doing something, but you're like, don't do that. Like you love to.
Sorry.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of like, you got to keep going. Like, can't give up, though. It's like, you
can't
just
let that
sit
back
in your house.
How old are you, Anthony?
27. About 27.
And what about you, Dan?
34.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anthony, tell me about your mom's brain injury.
Ooh, yeah. So I was living in California at the time, but I was home for like Christmas and all that. And my brother had just passed away.
From what? What happened to your brother?
He was 27 and he died in his sleep. And
jeez.
Like, yeah, it was like one night of like partying went wrong, but like not even like serious partying or anything like that. It was like some shit like in the shit, you know, like stuff was messed with or something.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But that happened. And then I was home for Christmas and I'm at my buddy's house like after New Year's and stuff, about to go out to the bar. And I was going to go to the bar with all my buddies and not come home for a while. Something was like, you got to get home. Like in me, it was so strong and I've never felt this before in my entire life, but it was like, get the fuck home now. And I was like, what is going on? You know? And it was so strong that I looked at my one friend and I was like, dude, you got to give me a ride home right now. So my buddy only lives like 5 minutes from my parents' house. And we get in the car, start driving to my parents' house, and all of a sudden we get pulled over by a cop.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. A cop pulls us over, calls backup. Two cops are there, two cop cars for two, just two. We're like 20 years old at this point. And sitting there, the cops like ask us all these questions, you know, do you have anything in the car? Ended up making us get out of the car, searching us and all this stuff. We had nothing, like nothing. We weren't lying about anything. Get to my house, go downstairs. Like, we have a jam room in the basement where we play music and stuff. And we go downstairs, and at the bottom of the stairs, I run into a body. And my mom, I like hear like this breathing. And my buddy's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I reach down, and it's my mom, like, unconscious in a pool of blood.
Jesus.
Did you know it was your mom right away? Yeah. Is that the only person home?
Yeah. Because he said your mom.
Oh.
And I, like, picked her up. I went on autopilot. Like, if I was thinking straight, I would have freaked out. I literally picked her up, ran upstairs, like, in a, like, cradle, you know, like, cradling her. And then put her on the chair, started, like, dabbing her face with a towel because she hit her head and split it open when she fell down the stairs. And my buddy's like doing everything I ask, like get me all the stuff. And then,
are you just feeling blood and everything? Like,
I have blood on my face, like, Jesus, all over me. It was so, it was really scary. Like, if I was thinking about what was going on, I literally would have lost it. Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to control myself. And I call the ambulance. I tell them what's going on. They come. And while I'm waiting for the ambulance, all of a sudden my mom, I hear like, you know, she's making this sound where she's like barely breathing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at this point, I'm almost yelling at her. I'm like, come on, mom. Like, why? Like, why did this happen? Like, why? Like, so confused. And then all of a sudden I hear her stop breathing. And I like freaked out and then like gave her this little shake and hear like, like breath go back into her. And then my buddy's there the whole time. And then the ambulance gets there. And she gets in the ambulance, and I'm still at my house with my buddy, and all of a sudden, like, reality hits me, and I just start, like, throwing up and, like, losing my shit. And then my buddy's dad had to come over. He's an EMT to, like, clean up the pool of blood in my basement. And then my mom was in a coma for, like, 2 months. Like, I couldn't even go to the hospital for the first, like, week or so, because I was so terrified. And when I got there, I like, my mom was hooked up to all these machines, and she was like, her hands were super swollen, and I remember just like my knees buckled and I fainted. Like,
you
I
did?
Was yeah I was so shook.
You walk in the room and all you hear are just like machines
and my mom's on this machine, and I can't see what's going on either, so I'm like making all these things up in my mind, and it's like and then like, dude, the doctor told us, doctor sat me down and said it would take her like years and years before she'd be able to do anything again, like, you know, whatever. And within like a couple, like, so like a month later, my mom's like, she's awake and stuff. She can't talk because like her whole, like, all this, like, all the throw and everything, for some reason, the way she was hit and like how everything happened and she was in the coma, she couldn't talk. And she was just trying to rip the things off her, and they had to put those like glove things on her hands and shit. And like, I was like, oh man. And it was just like, it was a lot. And then like, by the time she was coming to, like starting to talk and stuff, and then in the rehab and stuff, my mom was like, that's when I knew she was coming back. My mom is like, they're like feeding her food, and she's like, is this organic?
You're like, there she is.
And then my uncle would be like visiting, like we're all there, and she, my mom's brother, she's one of 13 kids, so like they're all there, you know. And like my uncle's there, she goes, Leo, let's go get everyone Chinese food real quick. And she would like try anything she could do to like get everyone to get her out of there. And she would like would bribe the nurses. She'd be like, I'll give you $150 to drive me home right now. And then she just like made them, like, it was literally a miracle, the recovery she made. And
how long was she in the coma for?
I want to say a month and a half.
Man, ever talk to her about it? Like, anything remembers? Or
this is the crazy part.
Yeah, this is intense.
This is really intense. When my mom was in the coma, she said that she was like on this cliff, like on the side of it, like climbing it. And she just kept climbing up and climbing up and wanted to get to the top so bad. And multiple times she would feel something grab her, from the back and like pull her away from the top and like pull her back down. And it was my brother saying, he literally, she heard his voice and he'd be like, "Mom, it's not your time. You got to stay." And literally happened multiple times. And she said one time she got her hand to the top and like could like feel this amazing thing she was about to get to, and then pulled back and then finally like woke up.
Wow. And it was your brother's voice specifically,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How's he feel about that?
No, it was the brother that passed away.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. He was already gone.
Side,
yeah, she's
no.
like,
"Oh, no
way. Yeah, like, don't. It's not your time.
Get the fuck out
yeah,
of here."
Yeah, it's like, it gives me goosebumps talking about it.
Holy shit.
It's wild.
Oh, so I thought of it the other way when you first told me that story. She was like climbing to like,
to the pearly
to
gates.
Yeah, to like
that's
Nirvana.
What she was doing.
And your brother was pulling her back
that's
to stay.
Happy, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, damn.
That is nuts. That
and
is
my mom's
deep.
Here still. And like, mm-hmm. they said, like, you know, if I missed it like 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, she could have died.
Mm-hmm.
And those cops,
the cops
stopped.
Could have stopped. Yeah. Could have stopped
for
all
nothing.
Of that, you know?
That's a great story. Tell me, what's mental hospital, Anthony? What is that?
It was when I was 18 years old, and I was like, so I got a bad concussion in college. This was a separate concussion, just wrestling. I got like slammed on my head, and then sophomore year of college. And then I was like, well, I'm not here wrestling, and that's kind of what I came here for. And then started being
what
like
college,
TCN, the college in New Jersey, and used to be Trenton State. And then, I was stopped going to school after my like one semester. Like my grades were good and everything. I just like didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was so lost and confused. You know that point in your life? It's like, wow, everyone is. Mm-hmm. But I just like was lashing out. I was so pissed at everything, and like, you know, angry at like I'd get angry at my parents for nothing, and like just so like this angry kid. Like I don't know what was wrong with me, and then I finally like lashed out so much. I was just like, I think I did it as like almost like thinking I was getting at my parents in a way, but like really it was just fucking me up. Like I was like, I'm just going to go to the mental hospital, you know, one of those things, like
check
breakdown.
Yourself in.
Check myself
you
in.
You checked yourself
checked
in.
Checked myself in.
How old are you?
I was 18.
Okay. So you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I checked myself in, thinking like, oh, I'm just going to chill here for a couple of days. Everything's going to blow over, you know? Like, fucking, they start pumping you with all these drugs and shit and, like, giving you, like, all these medications.
So, hold up. Let's not jump over so, enrollment and everything else here. You checked yourself in, and what do they say to you
so
when you get
I'm,
there?
I was manic at
that point. They willfully take you right away?
So, they put me in the like room where they start questioning you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was going on for like hours.
How many people were talking to you?
I think it was like three different people.
Really? And it's going for hours?
Yeah,
like
this was going on for a long time. And they're asking me all these things. And I'm just like, no, I just want to be here, like type of thing. Like this angry ass
kid. Do you remember
kid.
Any questions? Were you like answering honestly? Were you trying
no,
to get in?
I think I was just trying to get in. And I was just like, I need to be here. Like I don't feel safe for myself because I'm losing my shit right now type of thing. Mm. Like, and my parents were trying everything they could do to like not let this happen.
Are they showing
you, know?
You spot charts? And you're like, I can't see that.
I don't know. It's just like all this shit. And I remember finally like getting checked in, right? And like going up there, and it was like almost this feeling of like, what the fuck did I just do? Is like reality set.
Did they
in.
Say you could leave?
You know when,
that's what I want to know, yeah. too. Are you now like a ward of the state and you can't fucking leave?
Yeah. So I'm locked in there for like.
For real?
They have to examine you. They have to just like.
You have to be cleared to leave.
Yeah, cleared to leave. And I was like, okay. And I remember my stipulation. I was like, I'm not fucking going in there unless I can bring my guitar though. And I made them let me bring my guitar, like an acoustic guitar that they had locked in the closet. And like I had to ask to be able to play. And
would they let you sometimes?
I'll never forget. So it was like, dude, in there was such a, it was like you're, I feel like you're a zombie and around a bunch of zombies because you're in this room. There's no fresh air. It's like you have separate bedrooms off to the side and it's just like a living room type area where everyone hangs out. There's like little games or something they might let you play, and then you get like an hour of TV time or something, and then you go to all these like meetings to like talk about it, like therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Which therapy was good because that helped me talk shit out. But then finally I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, you know. It was like 2 days later.
Days.
I can't, I'm stuck. Dude,
I had doctors coming and like talking to me, and I was like, what did I do, man? And then finally, I'll never forget, it was like, everyone's like real down in there, you know? It's like this vibe, dude. It's like they make it that way almost. It's like supposed to be. Like nothing's happy.
Calm. I'm trying to keep everybody just calm and sedated.
Very stoic, you know? And
uneventful. Uneventful.
Yeah. And I started playing my guitar one day. I had the person that wouldn't even talk to you, like shit face, like not like shit angry grin in the corner, you know, like mad at the world. I had everybody dancing and like singing in the mental hospital, dude. I had the nurses dancing. Dude, it got to the point where I was like, the nurses were almost like, why are you here? Because like one nurse was from Jamaica. She would do my hair every morning. Like we would just sit and talk about life. And like, and at one point I started losing, you know. I was like, I really got to get out of here. And then finally, like...
How many months are you in at this point now?
No, it's just 3 days.
Oh, days. Okay.
Yeah, 3 days. And then finally it's over and I get out and like have to go to outpatient, you know, where you go to like just therapy groups or whatever, like once a week or twice a week. And then I started like... I took the medication, like an antidepressant, and it started really messing with me, I think. Like, I started getting these, like, electric shocks through my body and all this stuff. And then they started giving me different ones to try. And then one day, I passed out in the shower. I'll never forget it. And I never pass out. I was just taking a shower. Next thing I know, I'm waking up on the ground. And it freaked me the fuck out. Like, I was so terrified. And I went to the doctor, and I was like, this happened. And he's like, oh, you have panic disorder. Let me give you another pill for this.
Yeah, right.
And I remember standing up and being like, is that what you do? Like, I was so, I was like, this is so bad, man.
Had a
man.
Moment you're of clarity.
I fired a doctor, too, before for that shit.
I literally had this moment of clarity. I, like, went off on him saying all this stuff, but in a very calm manner. Like, very not respectful, actually, but, like, very, not, diplomatic. Like, yelling, not raising my voice.
Professional.
Yeah, exactly. And I told him off, and he's like, get the fuck out of my office.
He said that?
Yeah. Because I was like, and you're doing all that just so you can drive that BMW outside. That was my final statement.
Yeah.
I was like, get the fuck out of my office. And that day, I don't recommend this, but like I cold turkeyed from everything. And like I, you know, through holistic ways and stuff, got off that stuff. And like, thankfully through that journey, I learned so much about myself. And like, you know, really like, therapy helps and talking to people helps and shit. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I needed to do. I was like denying therapy for so long that I just needed to like talk my shit out of like, dude, I grew up, never had sight, like real sight. So like I was angry about this shit, you know, and like not being a normal kid, like growing up and just wanting to be normal so bad. And, you know, finding all that out through that shit, it was a shitty way to get there, but I got there, you know?
Good for you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't imagine being,
it was
born blind, having just that division between you and just your everyone. Like as a kid in school, you know, it's such a big part of who you are and who you become, and then feeling like divided from everybody would be like,
I was the blind kid.
Shitty way to grow up. Yeah.
When you're among your students and peers at the school for the blind, and you're not the blind kid, what is life like then?
So that was pretty chill, but the thing is, I was always going back home. Like, so I went to school in Philly.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but is that a place you can live?
No.
Oh, okay. So you commute.
I commute every day from Philadelphia, from New Jersey to Philadelphia and back. So it was like a 2-hour commute. I go to school all day.
Ball buster fucking place to another ball buster place.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, isn't that the one you had to fight to?
Yeah, there was a whole court
litigation
case
to get him into the school.
To get me transportation to the school because the state didn't want to provide that. So me and my mom lived in an apartment in Philly. I'm the youngest of five, and like she literally got this apartment in Philly. We stayed there during the week so I can go to school, and then went back home on the weekends for like 2 years while that went on. And then, where was I going with this?
Being in school with other blind kids.
Oh, yeah. It's just, so when you're when you go, once I made that transfer too, from like, so seventh grade, I went from the blind school to the regular school, like public school in my town in New Jersey. So I like knew some people, but I was also the only blind person that that school's really ever seen. And I would like put my Braille books on my lap under the desk to like act like, you know, like, I'm not reading Braille, like this shit's, I'm not blind. It. I would get handouts and I'd be scribbling on the handouts with a pen, like acting like I'm filling shit out, like just so I could look normal. Like
teacher, teacher would come by and just rotate it for you.
Yeah, one time, dude, one time they were like, it's upside down. I was like, oh no. I was just, that anxiety as a kid, just, it's like crippling. Mm. And then one time I went to a dance, finally I'm in seventh grade, I'm in the public school in my town. Like, I could go to the dance. All the girls are there. Like, you know, it's all, everyone goes. It's this huge thing because all the district, like, five different towns go to this dance. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I'm in line for the dance. I don't have my cane because I hate being blind. I'm trying not to be blind. And all my friends go in, and then I get pulled to the side in a classroom with a police officer and a teacher saying, your eyes are fucked up. What's wrong with you? What drugs are you on? Asking me all this shit. And I was so scarred from that. I was like, I'm blind. And they were like, yeah, right. And like had to call my parents and confirm.
No way.
And then let me into the dance. And then for all through high school after that, even like seventh, eighth grade high school, I hated school dances. I was like terrified to go. Just because of that. And like,
yeah, fucking ruined it for you.
It ruined it. But you also struggle, like, when you're born blind. I've related to, like, when you lose someone. Have you ever lost someone? Yeah.
That's why we got a show here, bro. Yeah. Have I lost them? Yeah. Whole exactly. Life has been lost.
Exactly. No, but, so, like, you know that feeling, though, where, like, you would, have you ever driven yourself crazy about someone really close that all you want to do is bring them back?
Yeah.
And, like, it's, it, you could sit there and that feeling alone could probably drive you insane if you let it like take over. Mm-hmm. That is like the feeling of wanting to see perfectly. Like just one day, like 2 minutes, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And it could drive you insane. And it's like you just have to like live, keep living.
Let me ask you this.
This is a weird feeling.
First of all, two questions, I guess. Do you feel that there will be a technology before we're gone where you'll be able to see the way, you know, 2020. Is that in your world right now? Do you know of technology? Is there something coming? Is there anything that's beneficial? And also, what about VR? Have you guys dabbled in VR at all? Is there anything for the blind that you could see or anything like that?
Nothing
or
put like
you into
that,
a reality world?
Because you would have to have something that would be linked directly. Excuse me. That would have to be linked directly to your brain because your eyes aren't processing anything.
Good point.
You know? There's nothing, I mean, there's something called the Argus, I think it's like the Argus 2 chip now, mm-hmm. which is an implant, which does signal to the brain, and you can see things like, if you put like a strand of lights around a door frame or something like that, you could tell where that door frame is.
I see.
But no pun intended. I don't think that would work for me, because I think you still need like your retina attached or something like that.
And there's no
so I don't
like.
No, I mean, I think there is.
Listen, I don't
in the
know
future.
Shit about shit, but is there? There's no cadaver surgery where they could reattach
that.
Your retinas or even put eyes into somebody. Is that possible?
If the nerve is dead,
it's over.
It's over. Yeah, like the retina's detached.
Yeah, that retina's super. Like, just we don't have the technology to know how to connect that retina and signal to the brain. Yeah.
There's crazy breakthroughs now, though, with different like eye conditions that they're getting, like gene therapy, like injecting. Need like the needle in your eye and then you're able to read a couple more lines on the chart. But with that, like even my eye condition alone, it has like 1,000 different types of genes.
Mm-hmm.
And each Leber's eye condition, like my eye condition, each one could be a different gene. So you have to have that specific gene for that specific gene therapy. So they need like thousands of cures one eye condition.
I'm going to ask you each the same question. I'll go with you first, Dan. You get 24 hours of perfect sight. What do you do with it?
Man, I go to the mountains. I love the mountains. Mountains with my son. It's Rockies or whatever. It doesn't matter. I miss that. That's like the one thing I loved seeing was like, snowy mountains. It's just like,
and getting to see your son.
Just that natural beauty of the earth, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing my kid. I would like to see my kid old, you know, like 30, 40. Yeah. Like to see him growing up would be cool.
That's great. But what about you, Anthony?
Oh, man. I like, first thing, go to the sunrise with my wife, and then I'd rent like a really fast car.
Driving.
I'd cruise around like top speed at different places for a little, go see like, you know, different landscapes and stuff. And then I told Dan this, like, even though like I never able to see perfect, I still had some sight when I was younger where I could like get around in the day a little bit, and I never could see anything at night. Once the lights off, there's nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to like run around the world at like nighttime, like see what it's like being able to see while the lights are kind of off, you know, like that feeling, and just like
a field of fireflies at night.
Exactly. Shit. Like looking at the stars.
Like a winter, and I was a winter night is the best.
Putting a telescope like to the moon and shit like that. Oh man. Like I look at the sky at night when there's a full moon and I could see a speck of light and I just like wonder what the fuck that looks like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me ask this question. I know it's going to sound stupid at first. I'll preface that. But what do you think, besides having vision, people with vision take most for granted when it comes to sight? Their sight. Does my question make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously the answer is just the ability to see, but...
Yeah. the amount of independence, I think, that you have.
Well, that's a good answer.
To be able to, like... We're always having to wait on somebody or something, even if it's Uber, right? Like, yes, I'm more independent with it, but I still have to wait for somebody. I still have to order that ride, and I'm on somebody else's time. So to be on just your own time and grab your car keys and walk out the door and leave when you want to leave. Just say that would be the thing that I definitely took the most granted for and missed the most, is that independence.
Yeah, I'd say freedom. Yeah. Like, I know everyone has anxiety and stuff, but like the lack of anxiety that you'll have from being able to see, if you were blind, like the extra anxiety you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis just to get some things done. Mm-hmm. It's like, because you'll have a task and you're like, okay, for me, like I gotta get my guitar, like pick my guitar up from the store or something. It's like, shit, now I gotta figure out how I'm gonna get there, how I'm gonna get back, you know, what's like, how is this all gonna look, and like figure everything out.
Where am I gonna get dropped off at? Yeah, where's the door gonna be at?
Exactly.
How am I gonna find my ride and get back home? Yeah, all that little shit.
Man. Mm-hmm. Dude,
and looking at beautiful women too, man.
That'd be
miss
nice.
That.
Thank you both for coming on. This has been an enlightening and really interesting and fun episode. Dan, I asked you the question when you were on here last time. So, Anthony, I'm going to ask you this time. Advice you'd give to your 16-year-old self?
Chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
I was like, so... Also, just being comfortable with myself. Like, don't worry about what everyone else thinks, because everyone else is so concerned about themselves just the way you are, like worrying about like fitting in and all that stuff. It's like, just be more comfortable with who you are, like be comfortable in your own skin, because it's not going anywhere, you know? I remember a wise guy once told me, he's like, dude, you're blind and the world's not waiting for you, so just figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you both. Will you please plug, promote, anything you'd like again?
Yeah, Four Bad Eyes across the board, FOUR. And then Dan the Mancini's personal account.
Yeah, just ASF Vision across the board. It's personal. Yeah. Four Bad Eyes, baby.
Honeydew, y'all. Thank you,
Honeydew. You got it, guys.
Thank you so much for having
you
us.
You got it, man. Thank you for being here. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.